What's up, planner lovers? It's your girl Sharice, and I'm back for this week's episode of the Plan on Purpose podcast. It's Wednesday. As I said last week, I'm going to be releasing new episodes every Wednesday, so I'm so happy that you came back to hang out, you know, again this week. If you haven't already, make sure that you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that we're going to be releasing episodes on Wednesdays now. This week, we have Laken Edwards, who we know as Plan with Laken, all over the internet. She's built a brand helping all these people really accomplish the things that they want in their life. She shared her story about how she got into planning, but also how she uses all the tools that she has to help her accomplish all of the goals. Well, not all of them. She also talks a lot about what it means to have to shift. And I know that that is a word that we have seen a lot in the past few seasons, right? So make sure you listen all the way through this episode, because she even gave me some pointers on what to do when things aren't going the way that I think they should be going. And I know you need that too, right? Mm-hmm, you do. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, make sure you share it with a friend. Head on over to Plan on Purpose on Instagram and share this podcast. Also, make sure you leave a comment underneath any of the posts that I have and let me know, as well as my guests, how this episode resonated with you. Don't forget, like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you really love me, leave a review. Let's get into it. So thank you so much for taking some time to hang out, to meet, to chat with me today. Please introduce yourself to my audience and let them know what you do.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Laken, like bacon, and you can find me at Plan with Laken on all of the places. I started an Instagram probably 5 years ago at this point because everyone else had one. It felt like that was the thing to do, to have a planning Instagram and to show pictures of your planner on the internet, which of course made my parents all kinds of nervous when I was living alone in New York City. And here I am sharing my plans with the internet world. But now I have sort of evolved into focusing on goals, personal goals in particular, and planning and making time for your personal goals. I find that it's really a struggle that a lot of us have to set aside time to focus on goals that are deep down really important to us. There's so many things going on in the world, in our lives, in our jobs, in our families. And so I really wanted to focus in on something that would allow us as planners, as women, to live the lives that we want to live and focus on our personal goals. And so that's sort of my shift. I have a YouTube channel that's dedicated to helping you both accomplish your goals and also share my personal goal journey with the community. And as well as I also have a Patreon where I help provide accountability and just answer specific questions to your specific goals. Because let's be honest, we all have different things that we're working on. We all have different lives and different ambitions. And so I wanted the opportunity to kind of get a little bit more specific with my community members.
Absolutely. I'm here for it. And I love that you, you know, take some time to really talk about the things that you are dealing with and how you might start one thing here and it doesn't work out and how this works out. Because I think right now we kind of need that. We need the authenticity and the realness of this is how I'm using this and this is how I'm not using it. And so I love that you do that. How did you get into planning in general? Like, how did it start for you?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've always been a planner. Like that day that we got the planner in school, it was awful on a plastic coil. And, you know,
wasn't it terrible?
Terrible paper. Like it was the worst, but it was a planner. And that was always the best day in school. And then I used a Lilly Pulitzer planner in college because I went to college in the South and that was the planner to have. It was a horizontal, which I can't even believe. I used to use a horizontal planner. I know.
I can't.
When you think back to like the pens you use and the planners you use, like who even was I?
I will say for me, I was a little bit of a snob with the pens, but that was only because of my mom.
Okay.
Like That was only because of my mom. She had the pens on lock from work, and I would be like, "Ooh, this one writes like this." But anyway, go ahead.
No, yeah, I mean, I didn't have that sort of influence to teach me what good pens were until I had a good planner to write it in. And then when I graduated college, I really needed something to help me organize my life. Not even necessarily organized, because let's be real, I didn't have that much going on. I worked a 9-to-5 job, and that was like basically it. But I wanted to have more going on. I wanted to fill my time with something, and so I bought a beautiful new planner so that I could organize my time outside of work. And then I stumbled into the planner community. I joined a Facebook group to help me figure all of that out. And I guess the rest is history from there. It's been quality paper and pens ever since.
Yes. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?
Yes, totally.
I know that it's been kind of a journey for you. What would you say has been your favorite part about being in the planner community? I know I watched a ton of your content, and I know you have a bunch of different things that you've gotten from this community. But what would you, if you could literally say, this is it for me, I have done this thing, and this has really changed my life, what would it be?
The friendships, for sure. I mean, the people that I've been able to meet in the planner community, and people that I can now go to for advice, and people I talk to almost every day that I met because I started posting pictures of my planner on the internet. Like that part just amazes me.
Yeah, it's definitely, I find that too. I have quite a few people that I touch base with now, and I'm just like, how did I like do this and have this, you know, this hobby? And like, I didn't know you, but like, you're like one of the most encouraging, amazing people I ever met. I love it. I love the people that I've met in this community as well.
I'd like to think that I would have met them eventually anyways. Like I would have like crossed paths with these people that were meant to be in my life. Because I just feel like we click on so many levels, but I'm thankful that the planner community, you know, expedited that.
Yeah, I think maybe I want to be as positive as I can and say yes, but I know the way that my life is set up with me moving every 2 or 3 years or so.
That's true.
And with everybody living all in all these different places, because you're in New York, and you know, I have people that I've met that are from, you know, in Georgia and in, you know, California, all sorts of stuff. And so I'm like, I don't even know. Like I'm originally from Michigan, so I'm like, when would I ever? So I'm thankful for for the internet.
That's a great point
for getting us together. I really, really admire how you have been able to kind of turn what you do into an opportunity for helping other people with your goal planning. When did you say, you know what, this is something that I really need to do? How did it go from this is a hobby of planning to I'm serious about the things that I'm doing in my life to let me help other people do this?
That's a really, really great question, because it definitely started out as a hobby. When I started both my Instagram and then even my YouTube channel, I had no intentions of it becoming a business or that I was going to expand or offer any kind of services. I thought, I'm just creating content on the internet. It gives me something to do to fill my time. In full transparency, when I started my YouTube channel, it was because my, at the time, boyfriend, he's now my fiance, but he had just started a new job. And he was working a lot of hours and I just had nothing else to do. So I started a YouTube channel to kind of fill my time. And it took, I don't know, maybe about a year or so to realize that I really enjoyed it and that what I was sharing was really making a difference and that there were people out there that were taking what I was sharing about just at that point, my own life. Like I was just sharing my own goals, like you said earlier, what worked and what didn't. And when I realized that that actually helped people, it made me so happy. And it just made me want to do more of that. And how could I help people even more? And obviously there's only so many hours in a day. And so it, you know, that's what makes something a business, right? Is that it is time in exchange for that service, that value, that education that I can provide based on my experience. And so it was really just starting it and then seeing the impact made me want to grow it. And then I'll be honest, last year, I just had some extra free time. There was a lot of downtime in 2020 that I just wanted to fill. I am typically a busybody and I'm usually go, go, go. And I felt like I had this extra time. And that's when I was like, you know, I've talked about starting a Patreon before, but always felt like I didn't have the time to commit to it, and I do now. So let's just do it. Let's jump in.
Yeah, I like that. You were like, this is what I'm used to doing and I got to fill it, but not with something that, you know, it's just like do this or do that. It's got to be something meaningful and something that I know, you know, is going to impact others. I am definitely with you on the busybody train. I've been like, if I was working, I was always volunteering and doing something else, like all the things. And so I understand that. I think same in a way, this started as like, you know what, I want to do something. This would be really fun to talk to people. And now it's just like, oh, I gotta, you know, find more people to talk to and have more amazing conversations like this one. So I get that. I totally get that. What made you really decide to start sharing your journey in such a way that you're really going through kind of like a lot of personal things? So not too personal, but you are talking about, you know, your wedding and like visiting your family and different things that are happening in your family. And I know a lot of people share a lot of different things. So what made you really like really kind of dive into sharing things that were personal? Was it like a process for you to kind of figure that out? Or were you just like, I'm just going to go in, jump in and do it?
Yeah, that was tough. And definitely something I think I still work on every single day is what is the line of what I want to share versus what I don't want to share. And I think that that will always be a learning curve because things are always changing. I mean, eventually one day I hope to have kids, and figuring out how that gets incorporated into my content will be something that I have to figure out at some point. So honestly, it's just been kind of a figure it out as I go kind of method. But what was always really important to me was that I, like you mentioned before, that authenticity and that people understand all the things I have going on and what goals I can and cannot achieve in the time that I have and how that impacts my life and the way the decisions that I make and the things that I do. I feel like in a topic such as goal setting, it could be so easy for me to just show all the things I am accomplishing and showing all the check marks and showing all the accomplishments. But if I don't share all the other stuff that is going on, if I don't share the struggles and the personal life and everything else, then it doesn't feel real. It feels like that it's not like a real person that's actually living their life and working on their individual goals.
Yeah, you got to make people feel like, hey, you know, I can check the box on these days and some days I can't. And that's, again, what I said when I started following you. I think just, again, me jumping into the Instagram community and just trying to find people who just love to do what I do. And now it's just like, oh, you know, she's really talking about some, you know, some real stuff about what this means and that means and working and all this. Speaking of working, you have talked about what it might be like for you to go back to work, you know, going into the building full time. I know there are a lot of people who are dealing with that right now and just trying to figure out, you know, if they have to go in. People are dealing with kids in schools and going back to work. What are you doing right now to manage what that stress might be like for you, if it's stressful for you at all? And, you know, do you have any advice for people and how to use maybe their planners or anything, you know, that you're using to deal with that?
Yeah, that's a great topic because, like you said, a lot of people I think are kind of transitioning that right now. My office isn't currently scheduled to go back till September, but I know that's going to be here before we know it. And I'm going to have to figure out what that's going to look like when it's time to go back. One of the things I did, which I know not everyone has the ability to do, is we moved closer to my office. So I originally was commuting about 30 minutes each way. And now I live within walking distance of the office in New York City. And so I can walk to work. So I really kind of shrunk down my commute time, which will make that transition for me so much easier. Now that I'm not going to lose all the time that I had gained back from not being in the office, but there will still be some. I mean, I will have to now get ready for work every single day and there will still be a small commute. And then I feel like I know some people struggle with the kind of boundaries of working from home. Honestly, I was a lot more committed to working my hours and being done when I was done. Whereas in the office, yeah, I am a lot more likely to get sucked in and to stay mm-hmm. and keep working on things instead of leave and go home for the day. So I think that is going to be a struggle for me. And I think what I'm just going to make sure to do and what my advice would be for others to do is don't overwhelm all the other things that you have going on when you're doing that transition. I will make sure that I don't have as many goals planned. I won't have really any new habits that I'm trying to implement. I'm going to try to really just focus on that transition as the important focus. I guess I just said the word focus twice, but really,
focusing,
just prioritizing that transition as that's the goal, is as smooth as possible as I can getting back to work, and not also trying to do a million other goals at the same time, because it's going to be a lot and I'm going to lose time. I'm going to likely lose energy. And I just want to make sure that I don't lose the routines and habits that I've like created at home. But I'm not going to be trying to do any new ones, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because you're dealing with something that's going to tax you in so many ways that you wouldn't want to put too much on yourself where you're taxing yourself in this way and that way. And then you don't want to, you know, get into a situation where mentally, physically, you're just so spent because you knew that you had to do this specific thing at this one time. So it sounds a little bit like goal planning has helped you prep for, okay, this is something that's big that's coming up. I need to make sure I'm kind of tailoring things in this way so I can be more successful. What are some of the things that you've done when you haven't been as consistent with some of your goals? Because I know for me, and you've talked about this as well, like, if I set a goal, I'm very strategic about trying to do it, you know, in the right way. But then as soon as I don't check off something, or as soon as I don't hit the mark or something, it's very, very like demotivating. Like I can't do it. I'm just like, really, really, girl, like, you didn't get up today, or you was doing meditation, you didn't do it. Like, I just feel terrible. So how do you manage whenever you don't meet that expectation, especially when it's your expectation for yourself?
Yeah. Two things. One is to just know that it won't always be perfect. It is very rare. There is going to be a very rare scenario that I would check off absolutely everything. That there is something that I'm going to do every single day, all of the time. That is just never going to happen. And once I kind of let go, which is tough, especially if you have perfectionist tendencies, to accept that there are going to be days that you don't check it off. But it's freeing. It's freeing to know that it's never going to be perfect. You're never going to check everything off. So you might as well know that you're going to miss a day. And when you miss a day, you can have that check in with yourself. And you're like, okay, well, that was the day that I missed. And now I'm going to pick up and I'm going to start back on it the next day. The other big tip that I have related to consistency, which is something that I will also do when I transition back to work, is I would rather shrink the amount of time and still do it and still be consistent with that habit or that goal, then eliminate it altogether. So for example, if I'm working out consistently at home, right now it's about 30 minutes a day. Let's say I'm still doing a good job of that when it's time to go back to work. Well, maybe instead of 30 minutes a day, I cut it back to 15 minutes a day or even 10 minutes a day while I'm in this transition period, because working my way back up to that time is going to be easier than going from zero. So rather than cutting it out and doing nothing, I'm just going to shrink it down to less time. I mean, even if you're shrinking something down to 5 minutes, if you're doing something consistently, but you know that something big is coming up, shrink it down to 5 minutes a day. It may feel silly, but keeping that consistency and that momentum going is going to make a difference when you want to pick it back up again, and when you have the time or the energy to do the full blown, however long you were doing it before.
Yeah. I like that. That's really good advice, because it's hard to see yourself whenever you don't check the box. It's hard not to see yourself as failing.
Yes.
Like, I think that word pops up immediately. It's like, oh, I failed at this. You know, I was consistent for 2 days or for a month or whatever, and then I wasn't. And now I'm not. And so now it's a struggle. And so not seeing it as a failure, but just like, hey, let me adjust this, is a great way for people to kind of, you know, to get back on it, because I know I'm the one. I'm like, you know what? Forget it. This is not it. I am not doing this. I don't want to feel like this. But it's, you know, it's not failure. It's just not an opportunity for you to see something in a different way and say, well, maybe I was kind of doing too much trying to say I'm gonna work out for an hour a day. Like,
yeah.
How about let's try 30 minutes?
And we are a lot of the times way over ambitious, where we will do things like that. And it sounds reasonable when we say it out loud, but then once we start actually implementing, it's not super reasonable to imagine going from 0 minutes a day to 60 minutes a day, however many days a week. That's a huge jump. And you're going to be way more successful if you go from zero to five and do something for 5 minutes a day. And I've said this many times, even if 5 minutes doesn't feel like it's making an impact, which it is, but what's the most important impact it's making is creating that pattern for you, creating that habit and that consistency. So you do it for 5 minutes a day, and then it's much easier to go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, 10 minutes to 15 minutes, so on and so forth until you get to that, if 60 minutes is your goal or whatever it is. I give the same advice talking about waking up earlier, because people always will be like, oh, I'm just going to get up at five, and they do it for like a couple days, and then they're tired. And so then it gets really hard and they snooze and they go back to their normal time. What I encourage people to do is, what time are you getting up now? Okay, back it up by 10 or 15 minutes and get up at that time. Do that for a week. And once you've done that consistently, then you can back up a little bit more until you work your way back to the time that you want to be getting up at.
That's true. And isn't it also like mentally for us, we need to see ourselves going into that specific space? I mean, that's why I love, and don't get me wrong, I have not used the power sheets yet. I am working on it. I see it every year and I'm like, I'm going to do that. But I am, again, like, I'm going to spend this money and then I'm not going to be consistent. Let me be consistent in my own way first. And then let me get this to manage the consistency. I know it's crazy. It's okay. I'm going to work on it. But I see that, like, for us, we need to see ourselves check those things off. And so if it is 5 minutes opposed to the 30 minutes earlier that day, you're still checking off that you did that, creating that habit, creating that, you know, that, you know, I don't want to use the scientific terms, serotonin and melatonin. I don't know all that. What I do know is that it gives you something, gives you a boost, you know, mentally to say, I did that today. And that was something that I wanted to do.
Yep. Yep.
Have you seem to be a very, very ambitious person though. Like, you know, from the beginning of you jumping into this, you're like, I'm doing this. I'm going to do the YouTube thing. I'm going to do this. There are a lot of people out there who may not be, or maybe in this specific transition have found themselves that they thought they were like really cool with being on the go, and then got into 2020 and it was like, oh wait, like I like being at home. Like I like this. So was it a transition for you to go from being kind of busy, I'm out here, I'm doing, to kind of slowing down a little bit with how you're managing your goals, or how your goals had to change? Was that rough for you?
You know, it wasn't, because I just focused on goals that I could control at home. And I took the opportunity, the extra time, the extra energy to focus on things that were within my control. There were parts of it that were hard, obviously postponing a wedding and, you know, as an extrovert, not getting to see friends and family. So there were struggles that I had. But in terms of my goals, I just kind of pivoted inwards and focused in on myself and the goals that were at home and for me, and made those a priority and kind of let the other ones go, which I guess that was difficult, but it was, I don't know. I guess as an ambitious person, it was really more of like, okay, I can't do those goals. Like I literally can't do them because of the situation that we're in. So what can I do? And I focused in on that.
What's your process for letting go of those goals? Like how do you look at a paper and say, I've set this out for myself for the year, and like mentally, and you know, how do you mentally come to terms with the fact that you might not be able to accomplish something you want to accomplish?
So last year was easier to do that because it was out of my control. And it was something that I couldn't do that. I couldn't plan a wedding anymore because the wedding wasn't happening. So it was easier to let that goal go. Now, and there are times I still have to let goals go. It doesn't have to be a global pandemic that causes you to let goals go. There are times that you set out to work on this goal and then circumstances change, things change, whether it's in your control or without your control. And I just remind myself that that goal will always be there in the future. And so if there's one reason that I have to let it go right now, that doesn't mean I'm letting it go forever. I'm letting it go for right now. I'm letting it go for this week, this month, this year, whatever the time frame is. And if it becomes the time that I can pick it up again, I will pick it up again. For example, one of my biggest goals that I've had for years is to do more public speaking. I really want to speak on stages. And I'm one of those weird people that loves public speaking. And so,
yeah.
Okay. I'm not alone. I love it.
I do this, you know, every week. So I'd love to do it in front of people, but you know.
Exactly. But obviously that was something I had to temporarily let go because of everything going on. And then even now, it's just not feasible with vacation time and flights. We have 6 weddings the rest of this year that we have to go to. And so even though speaking is opening back up, I just don't have the funds and the time to commit to it. So I let that goal go for now. And that's what I just remind myself is it's just temporary. And when the time is right again, I will pick it back up.
Yeah, I think that's something that, I mean, I know I personally struggle with, because for me, I feel like I'm so very strategic in how I plan things. And then life happens and you're like, oh, wait, I can't do that. That's not, you know. But I look at my goals and I'm like, oh, I strategically did this. And then it doesn't happen. And then when it doesn't happen, it feels like, you know what I mean? Like I have to shift it, or there's something that I did that didn't allow me to shift it. And so it's a struggle to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do it next year, or I'm going to do it tomorrow, or I'm going to do it, the next week, or whatever the case may be. Or this might not even be a tomorrow goal. This might be a next year or next 5 years goal. Like that's the rough one where you're like, I'm going to, specifically when it pertains to like my business or the things that I want to do with the podcast or things, you know, because I'm always so limited in certain things. And so it's the struggle. It's most certainly the struggle. Would you say that the tools you have now specifically help you with how you're goal planning? Mainly because I know we use power sheets and different planners and different things like that. But I know that there are people that I talk to that when I even just show them just my weekly, they're like, I'm not doing that. Like, this is too much. I'm not doing that. So would you say like the things that you use really help you? Or let's just say for whatever reason you had no planner, no, you know, none of these things, would you, do you think you would still be able to be as, you know, pushing forward as you are and moving forward as you are with your goals and accountable to them if you didn't have these supplies? And if so, what would you use?
No way. There's no way I would accomplish anything that I do without the tools that I have. One of the biggest things that changed when I actually started accomplishing my goals was scheduling time to accomplish my goals. For years and years, yeah, I would set these New Year's resolutions, all these things I wanted to do during the year, and I would never make time for them. I would never actually put them in my calendar or put them in my planner. And so then I would never accomplish them. And then I was surprised when I didn't accomplish them. Like, putting all of the different pieces of my goals into my planner is why I'm able to accomplish everything that I accomplish. So yes, my power sheets are my go-to goal system. They help me figure out what goals are important to me. The prep work in the power sheets is like gold in terms of figuring out what I want to focus on. And then they've also really taught me how to break down my goals, because at the end of the day, our goals are these big, massive things that we can't just accomplish in a day or even in a week or a month. And we have to break them down into smaller steps. And that's what the power sheets have taught me and encouraged me to do. And then my planners are where I actually put those steps into my life, into the rest of everything else that I have committed to around my goals. Really, I fit my goals around my life, but sometimes I really want to do it the other way around. I want to plan my life around my goals, but my planners are what help me map all of that out. Otherwise, I wouldn't make time for them, and then I would never accomplish them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That part. I try to tell people that all the time. I'm like, you don't have to do it like this, but you got to do something. Like, you don't have to have all the stickers and all the things, but if you're not at least scheduling in your phone, doing some sort of time management, then there's no way you'll be able to fit in everything, because you'll be working on one thing and then you'll be doing that for 2 hours, and maybe you could have only did it for an hour and did this other thing. Like, you'll never know. like what type of thing. I think tracking is huge for me. It's become a huge thing over the last year to track all sorts of things. I never used to track things when I first started planning. It was mostly just about what are my activities? What do I have to do? Did I do it? And then when I started really thinking about using it as a tool for me to manage myself mentally, I started tracking sleep, stress, mood, all these different things. And then it was like all this data that I collected on myself opened up and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not getting enough sleep. Maybe I need to do this. Like me tracking things helped me figure out what kind of morning routine I need to do. What kind of evening routine do I need to do? Like I never would have figured any of those things out had I not started tracking and looking at my time management for the things that I was doing. Like, I know I noticed you posted, like, you're using different things for your morning routine. How did you figure out what that process needed to be for you?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. And that is one of my struggles with posting things like morning routines is I feel like then people just want to replicate. They're like, well, it's working for you and your life, right. So I'm going to do the same thing. And I want to be like, stop. No, you have to figure out what works for you. I happen to be a morning person. So all these things are the things that I want to do in the morning while I have the most energy. And this is what works for me. And that figuring that out is also a lot of just trial and error for me anyways. It was trying something. Did it work? Great. Keep that. Trying something that didn't work. Okay. Take that out. Or move that to a different time of day. Is this something that does fit into this routine, whether it's morning routine or daytime or evening routine? And I have started tracking those things digitally, which I know is like a taboo.
I don't allow curse words on this podcast, okay? Like, you know, we don't say words like digitally. No, I'm just kidding.
I hear you. And I'm always so, when people are like, how do you track your morning routine? Or how do you, like, where is it?
In my phone, girl.
It is in my phone. I use an app called Routinery and it has changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the biggest reasons is because it gives me the flexibility to change it more easily. When you write out a morning routine in a planner and you write it out for an entire month and you're going to check off all the steps for the entire month, if you need to change something, it's so much harder to change it when it's all written down in a planner versus when I do it in the app. If I need to change something to do more time or less time, or I need to add a step or take a step out, it's so much faster and easier.
Yeah. Yeah. I listen, I'm not judging. I'm not judging at all. As one of my friends would say, ain't no gown, ain't no gavel. Okay. I'm not judging. I track a lot of the things that I do for the podcast in digitally too. So Notion is one of my favorite apps. It has become a thing. I have been down deep into the YouTube rabbit hole of Notion.
Awesome.
Don't do it. I mean, okay. It will get you to get, well, I mean, you can, but people manage all sorts of things on Notion. I think if I had something like Notion when I was a student, couldn't tell me nothing. I would have been rolled up in like the professor's office. Like, listen, I got a 42 out of 50 on this and a 52 out of tell me why this don't add up. See, listen, I didn't need that, but I'd use it to manage a lot of guest information and a lot of different things. And it's so helpful because I used to use my planner and like write all that stuff down. And then it would just be like, I'm getting ready for, you know, this podcast with Lakin. And let me just look and see the 500 notes that I have. And I'm flipping through stuff and I'm trying to talk to people like, this is not, no, that's not cute. Like, so I do think that there is a great balance in how you do things digitally versus what we use on paper. There's certain things I still need to write down. Like I need to write down when I have the actual interview because it helps me remember. I like to see it. It's pretty. It's cute. But at the same time, if I tried to write every question, every, you know, research thing I did, if I tried to write down different things that when I'm researching or like watching YouTube videos or taking classes or talking to people in meetings about certain, if I tried to put all of that in my planner, listen, it would be huge.
It'd be massive. Exactly.
And I would be trying to take it everywhere. Like, oh, excuse me, I need to write my notes down in the back of here. Like, no, it's a no.
Yeah, it allows me so to I get definitely more like specific. It. Like, because I can I can put little details, things that may seem so silly for me to put in my morning routine. It's only a minute task. But because it's digitally and I'm not rewriting it over and over again, I can just add that little thing in there. And then I make sure I always do it.
Yes. I, yeah, I love it. I've also gotten in digitally into, this is going to be, and people who know me are probably going to be like, are you kidding me? I have started listening to audiobooks. I know. I'm a huge, huge book reader. You can probably see I love it. I've been reading books back to back, cover to cover since I was little. And let me tell you, going to sleep with an audiobook, it's been a little, I'm in there a little bit. Gosh. I saw also too, I still love my paperbacks though. I have a friend just brought me a book a couple days ago. It is wonderful, still flipping the pages, but I've been reading books on my iPad and I've been listening to audiobooks because for me, I love reading, but I also, you know, like I said, I am a mom and I have to spend time with my husband. And sometimes at the end of the night, after I don't wash dishes, cook dinner, did all this, and I sat down, like my husband sleep, I'm in the bed. I don't want to go all the way downstairs. I just want to lay in my bed, right? So I pull up either my audiobook or I pull up my book that I got from the library on my iPad, and I'm still able to read with the nice light. And I'm not taking a book out and trying to turn a light on, you know, while my husband is asleep, or having to go downstairs because he's upstairs. Like, no, I want to read in my bed, so I can, and I can do that. And so I'm like, oh, this might be a thing. Like,
I do still pretty much stick to only physical books unless I'm traveling, and then I will use my Kindle because I mean, can only take so many physical books.
Yeah. I've gotten used to it. I probably say before I had my son, I didn't even mess around. I'm like, why would I? I'm not reading a book on an iPad. I'm not doing any of this. And then when I start again, like you said, you're traveling or you do something like go on vacation and you want to sit and read a book. When I got a diaper bag full of all the things, if I can have my iPad to manage, you know, our hotel stay, you know, get all our information for where we're supposed to go for the day, or, you know, whatever we're doing with our itinerary, and my book is here, it's like, I'd rather just bring this one thing instead of having two planners, a book, a this, a that, a notebook. Like, I just.
There's a balance between digital and physical for both books and planning that can still benefit our lives.
Yes, I know you are a reader and I see you always posting all of your books. You are in a challenge right now. You know, you're reading how many books? It was 50, right?
That's my goal. Yes, is to read 50 books this year. I am on track, according to Goodreads. I'm on track to get to that 50.
Yes.
Which will be the most books I've probably read in a year since, like, I don't know.
Ever? No, just kidding.
I mean, probably when I was little.
That's all I did. Yeah, when you had time, when you could just wake up and just read and, like, maybe do a chore and then maybe
and then go back to my book. Yeah, exactly. Since then.
Yeah, because your parents weren't bothering you when you was reading books. Like, you watch too much TV, that's a problem. But, oh, you reading your third book for the day?
Okay, go right ahead.
You're good. Yeah. Go ahead. Lay on the couch. How has it been going for you? What are some of the things that you're using to help you stay on track with that? Because, again, I love it. I'm a reader. And sometimes I say, I'm going to read these 5 books. And then I get 30 pages in and I'm like, I got to do something else. So what's helping you manage that?
Yeah, I make sure that reading is in my schedule and it's part of my routines. That way it even if it's only 5-10 minutes, it's happening every single day and it adds up over time. And I found that reading is definitely, for me, momentum. If I get started with a book and I get into it, then I will do it in my other free time. So I make sure I have at least 10 minutes every morning where I try to read a nonfiction book, some kind of, like, personal development, something related to one of my goals. Typically, it's like a book about a topic that's one of my goals. And then in the evening, I always read some sort of fiction book. And that is usually anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes, depending on how fast I fall asleep. I usually fall asleep pretty quickly. And so it doesn't usually last very long. But even if it is just that every day, I mean, that adds up over time. And then I find when I get into those books, then in the evenings or on the weekends, when I have a little bit more free time, instead of turning on Netflix, I'll go pick up the book because I'm into it and I want to know what happens next or what the next chapter is about.
Yeah, I think I was just thinking that when you were like, oh, I can do it for 10 minutes. I'm like, you can read a book for just 10 minutes? That's part of my problem. Well, if I'm sitting down and I'm like, I'm going to read for 10 minutes. It usually starts at 10 minutes. And then about 35 minutes later, I'm like, what was I supposed to be doing? Like,
well, my app, that's the app. It keeps me on, keeps me going.
Oh, so you get like a timer or something like, okay, your 10 minutes is up. Yeah, see, maybe I need to start doing that.
At least that's what I do.
Otherwise, right. Because if it's at night, like you said, you're falling asleep. But otherwise, I'll be sitting there and I'm like, I'm supposed to be making dinner, doing something. No, but I get right into books. You read some of the same books that I read, or have some of the same authors, at least. I know one of them I saw in your stack was Get Out of Your Head. I cannot remember the author's name.
Jenny Allen. I actually haven't read it yet.
Yes. You haven't read it yet. That's in your stack. That actually is a book that I have read. I didn't finish it when I was reading it, so I'm going to go back and like finish the whole thing. But like where I got up to, it was definitely good. I liked it. How are you choosing what books you're reading? Do you have like a list you're pulling from, or are you just kind of like, these are the authors that I want to read?
Yeah. So I have a whole list that I have saved in my Goodreads, like all the books that I want to read. And it's like, I don't know, 200 books long or something.
Yeah,
it's long. And like I said, for my nonfiction books, it's mostly things related to my goals. So if I have a goal of physical health, I just got this new book from the library. We're not swearing on this podcast, but it's called F Your Diet.
Yes, I have heard of that book.
Yeah. So Chloe, I can't remember her last name, but I just picked that up from the library. So that's like my newest nonfiction book that I've added that's related to one of my goals. So I usually try to pick nonfiction books from that category. And then for fiction, I usually, if I find an author I like, I'll read like all of the books from that one author and kind of go down mm-hmm. a rabbit hole of any given author. And then it's also just mm-hmm. what's available at the library, because I have been trying to own less physical books, especially fiction, because I don't find myself like picking it up as often. Again, like I don't highlight it like I do a nonfiction book. So whatever is available at the library, that's usually what's next on my list.
Yeah, same. The digital library thing, it is beautiful, especially since, you know, being over here, there's only a certain amount of books and certain things that we can get. And if there is a book that's like super popular, it is always checked out. Like, that's I don't care what it is. It is always checked out. And so like, am I going to wait and like, or am I going to read it? And the other thing I love about getting the books from the library is that digitally is that they give you a certain amount of time, just like they do like when you have a physical book to read it. And so like, you know, you have to go ahead and read it because you're gonna have to turn it back in. But like the difference is when you have a physical book, you're like, I might just keep it for a few more days, whatever, I'll pay the fine. The difference is when you have a physical book, you can choose to keep it and just maybe pay the fine. But when you have a digital book, they'll just like take the download right out and be like, oh, Kenny, open
you're
this
done.
You're good. Because I thought maybe I could just like recheck it out. And then like they have a list. So like if you are on the list and then you're like, hey, I checked the book out. When you get done, if you're not done with it, oh, well, because the next person on the list got to read it. Like you only get a certain amount of time, especially if it's a popular book. Like you can literally be on hold for that book for weeks. And then you get the book and you're like, oh, I got to read it. Because if there's a bunch of people behind you to get the book, then you're going to have to just, that's it. It's checked out. You got to, it's out of your library. That's it. And I was like, when I first discovered that, I was like, wait a minute. Like, I can't check this back out. I'm not finished.
Oh my God. I feel like I would not finish books.
Sometimes that's what happens. I'm like, oh, I didn't finish that. Oh, wait. But I just, it puts a fire under me, especially if it's something I've been waiting to read. Right. Like there's this book, I think it's called The Underground Railroad. It's by, Colson Whitehead. He wrote another book. Nickel Boys is another book that he wrote too. I've been really into reading Black authors. Just in general, I've always read Black and Brown authors. And I've always kind of gravitated toward them. But at the same time, like this past year, especially in 2020, I've been really, really focused on it. I started a book club and we've all been reading Black and Brown authors. And so that book was really, really popular. And then it took me forever to check that book out. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I remember when I finally got it, I was like, nope. Like, I'm going
to
sit here. I'm going
to
read this book because I cannot wait. I have to finish it. So funny story is I didn't finish the book. I just ended up going ahead and buy it because I got halfway into it.
No. Oh, no.
I was so ready. I was like, I'm doing this. And then it didn't happen. So I was just like, you know what? I just so happened to be walking around in a bookstore here in Germany, and they had a section, this one line, this huge bookstore, one little section, and it's like English books. And I walked in the bookstore and they had it. And I was like, getting it, because I really enjoyed this for the however many days I spent reading it. Like,
oh my God. Can you finish it now?
I love it. Yes. Okay. Yes. Amazing. Okay. Amazing book. It is like, it definitely has a lot to do with, you know, the times of slavery and things like that. Yeah. So I have to choose for my mental health when I'm like reading books like that versus when I'm reading other stuff. But it was just a really, really good story. So I definitely think that, if you're just into just like a good story, learning some new things, you definitely should put it on your list.
I will definitely put it on my list.
So let's pretend I'm a person who has never owned a planner, does not know about goal planning. No, I have some things that I want to do. Just saw the things you're doing on Instagram and on YouTube and just think, oh my goodness, I would love to do that. What is your advice to me? What would you say to me? How do I get started?
Whew. That's a tough one. That's a tough question.
Yeah.
So step one is start with one goal. So pick one area, one thing that you want to focus on. I am someone who focuses on a lot of goals at one time, but I've also worked my way up to that and managed to have a system that allows me to do that. So if you are just getting started, it is pick one thing that you want to focus on. What is one goal, whether that's decluttering your house or losing weight or whatever the one goal that is important to you. And then we need to pick one starting step, one small starting step, not 800 things that we're going to do to get started on this goal. Not, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed because I need to do the entire house. No, we're going to start with not the entire house. We're going to start with one room. And then within that room, we're going to start with one drawer or one cabinet and pick one small thing to get started with. Again, that 5-minute task that you can easily squeeze into your day, because we're all busy and we all have a lot going on, but we can find 5 minutes. We can find 5 minutes to do one drawer, one cabinet, one walk outside, something, and just get started with that one thing. And that will give you the momentum to keep going. We all struggle waiting for this magical motivation. Everyone's like, I'll just do it when I get motivated. Someday when I'm motivated, then I'm going to do the thing. That day never comes. The motivation never just shows up enough for us to actually accomplish anything that we want to do. It has to come from momentum, which comes from action. And so picking that small starting step that you're going to start with is going to kickstart that momentum to do more and keep working on the steps until you get to where you want to be.
That's it for this week's episode of the Plan on Purpose podcast. Of course, I want to thank Laken for coming through and sharing her story with us. I know I learned a lot, and I hope that you did too. I hope you also enjoyed our fun little banter about books. If you know me by now, you know how I feel about all the books. Make sure you check out her Instagram in the show notes, as well as all of her other information, because she actually shared some of the books that we chatted about and, you know, how she plans to read them. So I'm excited to hear what she has to say about these recommendations. Again, make sure you check the show notes, check out her Instagram, her YouTube, her Patreon, and all the great things that she's doing over there. Hey, make sure you like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review. If you don't want to leave a review or can't wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure you head over to Instagram at Plan on Purpose and comment underneath a post or send me a message. I love reading what you have to say about each of these episodes. And as always, I'm ready to talk if you're ready to listen.